the bump and run, the Bristol move.
That's aggressive, but it's that's good. Good heart racing.
Oh!
He puts him out of the groove there.
Oh, man!
Will he get the bumper? Yes, he does. Here comes Logano. Logano on the inside. A drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
The back end of the 18 kick out.
Yeah, he got into it right there.
Moved him out of the way.
It's almost too early to be racing that hard for the lead, wasn't it?
Never too early to be racing for the lead.
At Bristol.
Man, this is one of the biggest wins of my career.
It's the bump and run,
baby!
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Bump and Run podcast. I'm your host, Michael D.Y., joined by my two best friends, Matt the Statman Riley and Eric Daytona Ron. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you guys had yourselves a Ross Chastain and a Ryan Blaney type of weekend. Ross Chastain was the big winner down in Phoenix, but Ryan Blaney was the bigger winner because he walked away with a Cup Series championship. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. Fellas, how's your championship weekend?
It was good. It was a great weekend of racing, I guess, if you like, you know, certain styles of racing, I'll say. But overall, I think I'll put it this way. Phoenix, it would pass my expectations for it. I'll give it that.
Yeah, it definitely passed my expectations for what we normally shit on Phoenix pretty bad. And I thought we saw a really great racing weekend, except for one series that we'll talk about. But got to congratulate Ryan Blaney on the championship. Got to congratulate Ross Chastain on the win. And I have to congratulate one Kimmy Schray because she won our NASCAR Fantasy League, walking away with the money
Penske
in hand.
Sweep.
What's that?
The Penske sweep.
Yeah,
Penske
damn.
Sweep. Oh, yeah.
Ford sweep.
Yeah, she's a Joey Logano Penske fan. So big congratulations to Kimmy. And man, I thought it was a great weekend. We're kind of looser this weekend or this week's show. But we do have a little bit of news to talk about from the this past week. Let's jump into it. So Ford introduced a new Mustang body called the Dark Horse Mustang. I was looking it up. I guess the Dark Horse Mustang is kind of their version of the Hellcat. Like Dodge has the Hellcat, and now Ford is releasing a real high performance Mustang. And I tell you what, I think this thing looks fucking badass. What do you guys think about the new Mustang Dark Horse?
As soon as I saw it, man, I'm like, oh man, like, dude, listen, not only is that going to be the most beautiful car on the track coming from a Chevy guy, but like Josh Berry's also going to be driving a Ford next year. Like, I don't know. Like I might, like, I don't know. I think that that's a mean looking machine and it's going to be hard to root against that thing. Like I'm looking at pictures right now and it's beautiful.
I saw the big conversation surrounding this announcement was the fact that the front fenders, people were saying, looks like it is going to produce a ton of aero. And people are wondering how it's going to compare to the other body styles of the other manufacturers. And I would assume, you know, just like normal, you know, in years past, they have to meet the wind tunnel, you know, certifications for downforce here and there. So it looks like it's going to create a lot of different type of aero. And I'm just wondering what the air bubbles and pockets they always talk about that you can't get to the next car, how that front end now affects how it races behind somebody. So especially it'll be interesting to see.
Especially yeah. Super speedway racing.
Yeah, that was the first thing that that jumped into my head too. And I have to go back because me and you were talking about it at Trey's house. Forgot to mention over the weekend, thanks to Robbie Schray having us up to watch the championship race and the Cowboys game. I'm all out of sorts on this Tuesday. The show's off the rails already, boys. I went out of order. We didn't talk about Matt's weekend. We didn't talk about my weekend. I don't know.
Listen, my weekend was the same as it has been.
Yeah.
Hunting, football, racing.
But we were talking a little bit about it up there, and that was the first thing I noticed was just that it looks like an aero machine with those front fenders, the way they like scoop in and down into the hood. It's pretty aggressive looking. But yeah, like you said, Eric, it's got to meet all those standards. I'm sure it did. I wonder what kind of numbers it's going to put up compared to the other bodies, but definitely interesting for sure.
Well, with Chevy's got to be, I know they're going to stay with the Camaro for 2024, but the Camaro's going away. So like, are they going to update their body after 2024?
Well, yeah, I mean, per NASCAR rules, it has to be a production model that you run too. So I'm just wondering what Chevy's going to replace the Camaro with in Cup. You know, they don't really have any cars besides the Corvette, I think, is the last car they have. Now they just do SUVs and trucks.
So this thing kind of looks like a Corvette in a little bit, like
the Corvette makes sense if you think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of what, you know, when I think of sports car or something like that, like Chevy doesn't, like the Camaro is, I don't necessarily see it like I do the Corvette in a way. I don't know why I'm thinking that way. Maybe because the Camaro since the 60s and the, you know, when muscle car era, it hasn't been that car.
Yeah.
But the Corvette has always still been the Corvette.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So, but you want to what? Like, just thinking about it too. I mean, we never ran a Corvette in Cup either. Like, it was always the Monte Carlo, the Impala, even the Chevy SS, which if...
Because they're trying to sell cars, and I see why they did it that way. But it would be cool to finally give Corvette a shot in what it's kind of designed to do. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the racing series. Yeah. I don't know. It should be interesting. I wish we had some insight and something to go off, like some sort of news release or anything. But yeah, it should be interesting what happens after next year. Do they go to the Corvette? I'd be excited too. I don't know. I feel like
my dad has a Corvette. He's on his second Corvette now, so I know he would love it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know.
It's a way to get some of maybe those old heads back into racing. They got their vets, you know, they're driving down the avenue doing 25, going to the car wash for the fourth time this week. You know, those guys will love it.
Well, you gotta keep that vet cherry red, man, you know? All right, let's see. Next piece of news. Unfortunately, track demolition has begun at Auto Club Speedway. I saw the asphalt torn up. Just a heartbreaker. NASCAR says they still do have plans to build a short track. Unfortunately, there's no time frame at all in any of what they've released. So who knows when we'll go back to California. What do you guys think? Anything to add to that? I know it's kind of an older story. It's kind of just an update.
No, it's just like you said, it's kind of sad, man. That race started producing the last several years, and I don't know. We just don't have a lot of information to go off of, so I don't know.
The product of all those knee-jerk reactions that NASCAR was doing, you know, before this car came out and saw what it was producing, and they're, you know, it's one of the products that were going one way, the car's going this way. They tried it, just... it's unfortunate. And in all reality, it's just an unfortunate situation.
Yeah. And you have to factor in land value too. Like that's a big piece of property and it's worth a lot of money. And apparently what they're selling those parcels of land for will pretty much pay for the short track construction. So at the same time, it's a good business decision. It's unfortunate for the fans, you know, cause the 2 mile track was pretty unique. Now we just have Michigan. You know, and they both raced very differently from each other too. So hopefully we see some really cool races at Michigan though. I mean, we have been, but even better for the future. Let's see. Jason Ratcliffe, longtime Xfinity crew chief for Joe Gibbs Racing, is going to be stepping off of the pit box and serving as a team/driver coordinator for Joe Gibbs for the Xfinity and ARCA programs. I don't really have much to say about it. I just thought it was interesting. What about you guys? Any opinions?
I couldn't stand Jason Ratcliffe when he was Ken's crew chief. He would never make any aggressive calls. He would always just follow the fucking leader. So good riddance, Tim. Get off the pit box, dude. Your time is up.
I was waiting for that. I remember Eric always bitching about Jason Ratcliffe.
Yeah, dude. Like, come on, man. Like, oh, I couldn't stand it when he was in the... with, Oh yeah, good riddance.
You know what? I'm glad the passion's still there. You know, Kensett's been retired for how many years now? He's been out of the 20, and it's still there. I appreciate that. I really do. That's a true that's a true fan right there.
It sticks with you. That shit doesn't just go away. You know
what I mean? Like. No, I like it. I love it. Let's see. Speaking of Xfinity, though, Frankie Muniz said he's going to run some Xfinity races next season. It was originally rumored to be for RSS Racing, but then they came out and made a statement that said they haven't signed anybody besides Ryan Sieg to an extension. So I don't know if we'll actually see Francis Muniz in the Xfinity series, but it was a piece of news that came out last week. What do you think about Frankie trying to move on from ARCA?
I think if he's going to be every rung of the ladder that he graduates up to, he needs to like drop the Frankie and just become Frank Muniz.
Frank Muniz. I agree.
I agree. Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Yeah. Like to me, I respect him more.
Right. Frank. If it's Frank Muniz.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
we're not making Franks anymore, are we? Like, as a population. We're no Franks.
I don't think so.
Like, oh, look at baby Frank.
Oh, and you want to know what? His real name's Francisco. Francisco is a nice, like, Francisco Muniz.
But that's more race car than, oh my God, he's doing it all wrong.
Yeah, Francisco Muniz sounds like a guy that just came out of like a GT3 car. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm switching from sports car racing over to the Xfinity series. But yeah, we'll see if old Francisco makes it up to the Xfinity series in 2024. And then I should have brought this up after the Auto Club, but speaking of pavement, North Wilkesboro is being repaved this week, so you can check out some pictures from that. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It definitely needed it. It was fun to see the old surface for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think you would be able to do another all-star race on that.
The track was coming apart as they were going around it, and they had to stop it had to happen.
But yeah. That's all I have for NASCAR news this week. I mean, all the news was the championship races, so let's jump right into it. For the truck race, we saw Christian Eckes win the race, but Ben Rhodes won the championship. I think, Matt, did you end up watching the truck race?
No, I had to get up early Saturday for hunting, but I watched the highlights. I woke up early Saturday and I hopped on Twitter real quick before I got out of bed, and I saw like three or four tweets in a row, like, wow, that's an embarrassment. Like, yeah. What the hell are they doing? What's the truck series doing? And I was like, I screenshot it and sent it over to you guys. I said, what the hell did I miss last night? And then later in the, well, not even later in the day, but Sunday, I finally watched the truck highlights and I'm like, oh my God, man. Like that ending, like, Hosovar and Heim, like they're both running for a title and they're smashing into each other and wrecking each other, and it's like, what is going on there?
Yeah, it was tough to watch. Eric, you watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I was up my hunting cabin, and that was the only way that I was going to stay. Over 10 o'clock start time, and it went till 1:30, I think it was, by the time that race was over. So. It's safe to say, how many overtimes did they go? Four? Was that like four overtimes?
It was either four or five. I fell asleep, I don't know how many times during the race, because again, it was like a 10:30 start. It started at 10, but green flag was like 10:18. And
Grant Enfinger got screwed, dude.
I'm glad you said it ended at like 1:30, because like I was in and out. I saw a lot of the restarts. Yeah. I saw the end of the race and then like closed my eyes during like the interviews and stuff. And then I woke up to a baseball game or something on, and it was like 1:30. I'm like, did I fall asleep for like another hour? I thought it ended at 12:30, but I guess it did. I think I probably only fell asleep for like 10 minutes or so.
I know Bagman from the morning drive was, because he was calling the race for MRN.
Yeah.
I think he's like, I even said like out loud, like, what the hell are we doing here?
It was an embarrassment. And Eric's 100% right. Grant Enfinger got screwed. He should have won that championship, man. He really should have.
Yep.
It's what we're talking about.
It all came down to Hosovar brake checking up on Heim and then taking himself out. Like, if he doesn't do that, Grant Enfinger's winning that race.
Oh, yeah. And then even in those closing laps, because I don't know how many green-white checkers there was, but in the last one before they took the white flag, There was a car.
He was
in the
right on his ass. He went from 20th, I think it was. Yeah. And he almost he had a shot there, yeah. But it was just a disgraceful act of racing at the end.
There was a car in the wall, and they never threw the caution either. So
right,
like NASCAR screwed him not throwing the caution also, because like you said, he made up so many spots on those green white checker restarts too.
And he wouldn't have had to with those fresh tires. Like he would they basically screwed him twice because I forgot about that caution too, Whitey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the officiating, just everything about it was just a. It was just a disaster. I mean, I don't, you know, think we need to go here, but I'll say it. Jamie Little and the booth, even Mikey, was not good at all during that. I think there was too much going on for them to really keep up. There's too many people in the booth. They were all fumbling over each other. And like Jamie Little, she couldn't find the words fast enough to come out and kind of really stumbled a lot there, which didn't add to the race at all either. You know, like I just thought as a whole, man, it didn't look good for the sport. Not only the truckers and the people out there racing, but just like the sport in general, I think it looked bad overall.
Yeah. It was an embarrassment. The whole thing from the start time on to the end, it was embarrassing for the truck.
It's also never going to, you know, those broadcasters too, you know, you're set up for failure when you're calling a championship race from the other side of the country
from the studio. Yeah, they were in the Charlotte studio.
You're not gonna get that natural feeling,
and you felt it.
It's why
I haven't been watching the truck series, because the last how many they've been remote, and it's like I'm not watching the broadcast this way. I'm not doing it. I won't do it. The product suffers from it.
I just thought of this tweet I read that this one guy posted. He's like, you know, he's like, we could bitch about Clint Boyer all you want. He goes, but Mikey out here just saying, oh, look at these truckers go. Oh, look at these truckers. Oh, these truckers are really trucking out here. Oh, look at them trucking away. Oh, the truckers are really trucking today. And it's like, once he said that, I'm like, then I really noticed. I'm like, oh my God, he does do that
all
a lot.
The time.
Like,
man, all these truckers just trucking on down the road.
It's weird because like when he does the cup races, he'll do like one or two a year or whatever. I think he's phenomenal. So like,
yeah, but he doesn't prove any insight. It's just like, oh, look at a truck is trucking around the turn. Oh, look at this truck going by the other truck.
I also think he takes the cup series a lot more seriously. I mean, not the gridwalk part of it, but like when he's actually in the booth.
But when you have Mikey,
and then you get like the Steve LaTart. Then Larry Mack, like breaking down the Ford cutaway car, completely different. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like
just trucking along.
And then
I forget, someone tweeted it too. It was like Jamie Little watching two guys just absolutely destroy each other for no reason. This is exciting stuff. Jamie, look at these truckers trucking. And Christian Eckes wins. it's tough.
Terrible,
man. I don't even want to say it, but man, it's gonna be rough. Well, I'll talk about it in the checkers and
the next race we have to watch. The next live race we have to watch is brought to you by
Fox. Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I'm not looking forward to February when we go back to Fox full time. Let's see. Saturday night we had a Xfinity Series race. Cole Custer won the race and the championship. I only got to see literally the final restart. I got home. Me and Bree took my mother out for dinner for her birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. I love you. And I missed everything except for the last restart. And boy, was it a great restart, though. Like 4 or 5 wide. I thought Cole Custer was going to lose it. He ends up taking it back and finally winning the championship after getting two consecutive second place finishes in the Xfinity Series when he was last full time. So 2-2-1 is the Cole Custer record. What did you guys think of the Xfinity Series race? Did you see any of it?
I watched the first stage because it went by super quick, that first stage. And then I think I switched over and we were watching football. And then I switched over at the end and it was 8 to go. And I'm like, oh, perfect. What are the chances of this? So from 8 to go on and those, you know, the final restarts and whatnot, I saw it. So I guess I saw the best part of the race there at the end. And you're right, Whitey, that restart was, it was phenomenal. And Cole Custer, he legit raced his way to a win there. And he lost it and he went and got it back, which was impressive. And yeah, you got to give him credit for that.
Did they?
Yeah, I can see the race the same, similar. I was back and forth between football and the race. And once it got to like whatever 20 or 30 to go, then I gave it my full attention. But one thing that they do that I love, I mean, Xfinity does so much. It's a great series. But the one thing that they do for the championship race that I love that the Cup doesn't do is like they finish under the lights.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, Homestead always did that. Like, we want to at least get it a little bit closer to the way Homestead felt, was like, just let Cup, like, start the race an hour later and let Cup finish under the lights like Xfinity did. I think it just adds to the primetime feel of it, I guess you can say.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. It makes it feel like big time, you know, like,
right.
Like, I don't know, like, just even when you're a kid, you know, playing under the lights was special. Yep. You know, I feel like being under the lights is special, especially for a championship race. But did they ever say what happened to John Hunter Nemechek? Because he cut a tire and then smacked the wall, or like, I don't know, because he was there at the end and then he wasn't very quickly.
I don't know if it was old tires. I don't remember.
Yeah.
He definitely cut a tire down. He got into somebody. I remember when he fell back at the end. I think he cut a tire or something might have broke or
yeah.
Because he was racing up there.
He was racing for the win too. Yeah.
I remember him smoking and him going in like the Goodyear getting rubbed off, I think. But I mean, once again, like they were doing that all night long, and it's kind of a blur who.
Yeah.
That's in a who and when, you know?
That's true. That last restart was absolutely insane too. But yeah, and then Cup. Ross Chastain led six times for 157 laps, and Ryan Blaney came in second, winning the title. Ross Chastain, finally the first driver in the Cup Series to win who wasn't in the championship hunt. And an interesting fact I saw, Ford won all three titles the first time since 2001. That's happened. So big congratulations to Ford across the board. Sunday's race was 2 hours, 52 minutes, and 1 second. We saw 18 lead changes among eight different drivers, four cautions for 27 laps. Your top five, Ross Chastain, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, William Byron, and Christopher Buescher. Fellas, do you want to jump into the race grade?
Let's do it.
And we'll go with Matt this week first. What'd you think about the race in Phoenix, championship race?
So I gave it a B minus. I don't know. It was actually about a C minus race until Blaney and Chastain made it interesting with like 50 to go. I don't know. It might've even been turned into like a B plus if we got to see that battle play out, because we got that battle was unbelievable. And we got a caution and they racked them back up. And if we just kind of let that play out, we've been saying it all year long, you know, if we could just see some of these battles play out instead of a caution ruining it, you know, we get to see like the actual racing aspect of it. We didn't get to see that, but you know, the race was fine, you know, for Phoenix, for how much we shit on Phoenix, it was all right. You know, I think if you take away the massive stakes of attached to this race of it being the championship race, I think it's probably just another race to me.
Yeah.
So I gave it a B minus. I don't think it was anything special. You know, we saw some moments. We saw some good moments. It was enough to keep me engaged. But again, I was so engaged because it was our championship race. You know, I didn't miss a second of it. And I was glued to the TV. But again, because it was the championship race, especially once Christopher Bell went out, like, oh, my God. Is that going to have, what's going to happen to the other three? And then like it always, every year it crosses my mind. I don't know if this ever happens to you guys where it's like, for the sake of like saving the embarrassment of NASCAR, I pray to God, the championship four don't all get into an accident at the same time with like,
oh yeah,
130 laps to go, because what would NASCAR do at that point?
Yeah. Then how do you sell the rest of that race? Like how do you build it up for the excitement and everything? Like, of course, yeah, the race is going to go on, but like, what you came to see is kind of all done, you know?
Right. By the time they sort it out and they announce, like, okay, well, Blaney's your champion and there's still 95 laps to go, it's like, well, what do we do here? You know?
It's like, I'll click. See you later. Yeah. See you next season. You know?
So that's a real doom. Not to be negative. I'm not trying to be negative, but like, that's a real doomsday scenario that, like, could you imagine?
Like, what are the odds? You know?
Right. Right.
But I mean, it could happen, though.
If any year this is the year, some guy on the inside drives in too hot, washes up the racetrack, and they're three wide, someone's in the middle, all of them are going up into that outside wall, and one of them's getting slung back down onto the racetrack.
They're all racing around each other, especially at that track, like Eric said, you know, someone slides up or misses a turn or something, takes out 10 cars.
That's the Larson Denny Hamlin move, you know what I mean? Right. Just to drive in too far and use up the guys you're outside. And hey, eight's better than four, and you know, two, it's as many as you want up there is going to be better. So they didn't care. And there was a couple points in that race where they were three wide, all championship drivers. So yeah.
There was a point where I think it was Ryan Blaney and Kyle Larson. Blaney was near the fence and Larson was coming up on him. I go, this is where they wreck each other. And William Byron takes the win right here. Like, this is how it happens. Of course it didn't, but like it could have. And I forget what restart it was. But there was a restart where guys got stuck four wide in a turn where, like, it's real. I think it was, like, going into turn one. And even the broadcast is like, I don't know if they're going to make it stick right here. And there's
going to have to lay off, yeah.
And I forget who was involved, but there was at least two championship drivers involved in it. And then there was, like, a third non-playoff driver. And I'm like, oh, this is how I have it. It might have been Ross Chastain. It might have been Ross and Blaney and Larson, to be honest with you, but I can't remember for sure. But yeah, what a nightmare scenario that would have been. Man,
I thought it crossed my mind a couple times, but sorry, I didn't mean to get in the weeds there. B minus for me.
All right, how about you, Eric? What'd you think?
The championship race at Phoenix, I tried to just go into this clean slate, clean whatever. It's a new car, new this, whatever. New package, new tire, new race for me. I knew all of this was going into this race. They've, over the course of the season, they've upgraded this car and done whatever they could within the means of the teams to make short track racing better and change the tires and do whatever they could. So I had an open mind going into it. And I think Phoenix, it blew my expectations out of the water. I give that race an A. Absolutely love that race. I thought throughout the whole race there was battles all day long amongst the championship drivers, two wide, three wide. And the one thing that I noticed was Blaney was a part of every single one of those.
Yeah.
And that is why I think he really earned and deserved that, was because you look at the highlight package, any kind of crazy epic battle, Blaney was there. You know, it was Blaney versus Chastain, Blaney versus Larson. It was Blaney, you know, Christopher Bell and Larson at one point. It's just like he was battling everybody at some point in time during that race. And I mean, him and Byron, they touched doors a couple of times on a couple of restarts. And it was, you know, I just thought that race, although I hate they cut the dogleg off, which that causes a lot of that crazy drama and going from the flat up to the banking, which gets cars out of shape and whatnot. And you don't know as a driver where this guy's going to be. I thought the racing was great. It did, Matt, yes, have the championship feel, which probably boosted it up for me a little bit for sure. But I like that. It did it for me. That's what Phoenix might need with this car, is the fact that, hey, I don't know if Blaney necessarily would have been as aggressive as he was if it wasn't championship race. So, you know, maybe those battles that we saw were produced only because of what was at stake. But I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it as a championship. I think I can't shit talk Phoenix at this point in time, because to me, it produced as a championship race for this 2023 season.
I'm glad you said it, Eric, and I'm glad I'm not alone, because I also gave it an A. I thought what we saw in Phoenix was probably the best race at Phoenix I've ever seen. It was
hands down.
Yeah,
and it was Phoenix races.
What's that?
Oh yeah,
I guess, I thought
so?
What am I missing, man? Well, I did not. That race was okay to me.
But you want to know what? I think because the Phoenix racing that I'm used to is so bad, where it's like,
Better. And I will say that it was better. Like, I'm not. Like, I really am trying to keep an open mind about it. I don't know, man. I think I'm just so beat down from that racetrack that it's just like, I love Eric, your point of view going into it, where it's like, knew this, it doesn't matter. Let's just go in open with a clear mind. And I wish I could do that with this track, but I just like, I don't know if I would hate this track so much if it didn't take the championship race. Like, yeah. the fact that they don't have a championship race at this track that like fans have been screaming from the mountaintops, do not bring the championship back here. And NASCAR keeps bringing it back. I think I'm just so sour about that where I'm tainted.
And here's the thing I wanted to say, I think if this race happened in the spring, it wouldn't have been an A, but because the guys that were in the battles, it was all the championship guys. Like it wasn't like one guy ran away with it. Like, yeah, Blaney had a fucking car, but he was working it. He was working it all day long, you know?
He made it. Ryan Blaney, if there was ever a deserving winner of a championship, that was it right there in this particular format, because he earned every bit of that race.
Now,
because this is the reason why I think I enjoyed this Phoenix over the years past, is because did you see how hard it was to drive those cars?
It was.
Blaney was really getting out of shape. Everyone was getting out of shape. How many times did someone have to save it? Christopher Bell had to shave it. Kyle Busch gets like, those cars were on edge. That means there was enough tire fall off that it meant something, and you had to really have that car's handling underneath you. And, you know, anytime that a wheel man has to get involved in winning a race, and you saw how aggressive and how like the in-car shots of Ryan Blaney really like manhandling his car to make a turn and do some of these moves to get around cars. I just thought that went into my grade too. Like, just the improvement of just this car on these racetracks, how hard they are to drive at certain racetracks. And I think Phoenix became one of these racetracks now where, you know, we've talked about how Darlington, it's hard to drive and get around that. I think it's becoming one of those racetracks with this new car and this new tire and the way it's racing. It was hot, where you have to be under control. And I mean, I guess it always was with Harvick, you know, it's all about the pedals and rolling in, and Blaney, that's what he did the best. He was able to roll those corners on the bottom and then throttle out. That he did that better than anybody. And when you could learn and figure that out, I think this was like a driver's championship, driver's race. And you know, it just wasn't, you know, that arrow, boom, whoever has the fastest car is going to win. No, you know, Blaney had the fastest car, but Ross Chastain still won that race outright too. You got to give him credit for racing hard too, because, you know, Gluck or someone always shows like the fourth quarter speed, whatever they would end up, and Blaney would end up running away with it with the speed of his car that he had. But yeah, I just think that racetrack has turned into something where the driver input is up there, and I appreciate those type of tracks. So to see it race well, and you have to do that, I just think it was a win-win for me.
And I saw on Twitter too, where a couple of people were saying, like, if you weren't at track, you missed a lot of great battles throughout the field. Obviously, like, the NBC,
we know how that goes, man.
Well, yeah, and like, obviously the NBC broadcast really not going to show anything besides the championship four guys, so it's understandable. But if we got to see those types of battles throughout the field too in the spring, it might be a good race in the spring too. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for the future after this race.
It was enough. I'll say this, and then Whitey, you already gave your grid.
Yeah.
I'll say this, and we can move on. Is it was enough for me to at least be okay with the fact that we're going back there for the championship next year.
That's how I feel, man. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I put it this way. You know how you said like, the sour, like, taint? Like, I get that. This race kind of washed that for me, because I got into it mentality beforehand. It kind of like, okay, like, I'll put that opinion to the side for now. It's not going to go away, but you've earned the right after what I saw on Sunday for the, I guess, championship race. come next spring, Matt, we'll have a conversation about this.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the spring race. I mean, I'm looking forward to every, I look forward to every race, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like getting up about the spring race, but like, yeah, I'm okay. Okay. Like if that's what we get for the championship next year, like, all right. Like, I'm like, we had a good race.
Yeah. Now, I'm not advocating for it to stay by any means.
I'm not either.
No. No,
I'm saying for what, if it's there, I was pleasantly surprised at how it went.
No. And a lot too has to go. I mean, credit to NBC always, you know, the, how they handle the importance and what stakes are, you know, involved with the race. They do just a phenomenal job of the buildup, what broadcast teams should do.
And I think that's what makes the difference between this race and the spring race too, where like the storyline is more compelling because it's the championship race. And we got compelling racing out of those championship drivers too, where it's like, oh, will Ryan Blaney do it? You know, will Kyle Larson jump him on this pit stop and stuff like that? Like, I thought it was really good. Now, if we saw the same race in the spring without the championship implications, though, it probably would be like a C+.
The last 50 laps were really, really exciting. We're probably the best. I'll give you that. Those last, like when Blaney and Chastain were battling each other, that was one of the best battles that I can remember in a championship race, whether it was at Homestead or here.
But
that was a great battle. I wish Chastain was part of the, was one of the four, because it would have been even better.
Better,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But do we see that same battle in the spring? Probably not, because not as much is on the line. You have the whole season to look forward to. So, like I got real nervous. I watched the race again today at work, and I got real nervous, even though I knew Ryan Blaney won the championship. I got real nervous. He was going to wreck his car a lot of times. Battle with Ross Chastain.
That's
where
what I'm saying.
Where
like
I'm like,
yeah,
what are like, you doing, bro? Like, calm down. Like, you're doing more damage to yourself than you realize, you know?
I always knew Blaney was a little bit of a hothead.
I didn't realize how
he might be the hottest head on the track. I didn't realize Blaney had that in him, because he's such a cool dude outside the car.
It made me like him a lot more, to be honest with you.
Well, me too, big time. And I already love Blaney.
Oh yeah, I thought it was great. But yeah, that's what I had for race grades. You guys want to jump into the checkers and wreckers?
40 wide for the lead. One lap to go.
It's this week's checkers and wreckers.
All right. Since we started with Matt for the race grades, we'll start with Eric for the checkers and wreckers. What was your checkers and wreckers for the Phoenix race?
So my checkers goes to the winner of the championship for Ryan Blaney. We were all high on him. We all knew it was coming at some point in time. But I will say this. There was a point in this season where we, as a podcast, or I brought it up, were kind of questioning him. Like, hey, like he's kind of, you know, he's fallen off a little bit here. Where's he at? What's he doing? Is he going to get this win? Even on the Dale Jr. download, he was questioning himself, like, hey, do I have what it takes to win? And, you know, kind of he was at this crossroads in his own mind of does he have what it takes to win a NASCAR championship and be a driver in this sport? And I think what we saw throughout these playoffs really proved to me that he did have what it takes, and he proved to himself. And he, you know, he proved to all those haters that he does have what it takes to be a champion and, you know, winning the races he needs to win to get into the next round. And, you know, the way he raced, we talked about it. Aggressive. Did we had to do? He's, you know, elbows up. And he was really wheeling that car to victory lane. And, you know, I just all hats off to him. It was well deserved. And, you know, it's going to be looked at like, oh, William Byron won six races, so-and-so won this. Like, not everyone that wins the most races is going to win the championship. Sometimes the one that wins championships, they have those championship moments, and those moments necessarily don't have to be race wins.
Yeah.
And a lot of them. It's just certain moves of a race to get this point or that point, and Blaney seems to be consistent at doing that. Being in the right place at the right time, consistently doing it. And the wins might not be there, but the consistency with him always is. He actually ended this year minus three in like a driver average, running position than he did last year, and he won the championship. So it's like, you know, he actually had a worse year statistically this year than last year, and he won a championship. So it just goes to show that, you know, championships, they're hard to win. And I just had to give credit to Blaney, and, you know, he deserved it. It was well fought win.
Much like we always say too, like in our sport where, you know, it's hard to win a race. And then once guys seem to get over the hump and get that first win, the next wins come a lot easier. And I think it's the same with championships. Not that they come easy, because championships, no matter what the sport, ever come easy. But now Blaney knows what it takes mentally, physically, what the car needs to do, what he needs to do, how he needs to prepare. Now he knows exactly what it takes to get there. And that's that. That's an advantage that he has over 90% of the field who hasn't won a championship yet. So 95% of the field who hasn't won a championship yet, he now knows what it takes. So that's a dangerous thing to have on your side. And again, we always talk about, you know, the Harvicks of the world, the Bushes, the Keselowskis, you know, all these guys are going to start all Hamlin. They're all going to start dropping off where these wins have to go to somewhere. And I think Blaney's going to be scooping a lot of those up.
Yeah, I agree. And we talk about momentum a lot, and he just had the momentum in the right time. And it was a full team effort, too. And like you said, Eric, he you know, he doubted himself. He said it after his Charlotte win, where he went on a long drive streak and then he won the Coke 600. He got out of the car. He said in his post-race interview, he goes, you know, it comes to a point where you start doubting yourself. And then even after that Charlotte win, I had to look it up. He only had 1, 2, 3 four top tens in that stretch from the Coke 600 to the Daytona cutoff race. Four top tens. He had a lot of 30th place finishes, a lot of sub 20th place finishes.
The whole summer. That's so wild.
There was reason to doubt, to question it. You know, we know that you could get that one win here and there, but you know, it's how can you capitalize? And you're right, Whitey. It's the momentum. It's how you respond. And we talked about the Christopher Bells at the end. You might not get the wins during the regular season, but when does he has those championship moments?
Where
that's why he was able to make it to the four when it matters. And Blaney proved now that when it mattered in the past, when Blaney needed to do what he needed to do to get it done, when it mattered most, he wasn't able to do it. Now he was able to do it. Like Matt said, he overcame those situations. And now he has those to learn from, to look back on, and to say, hey, you know what? I got past that. I won a championship. I am now a top dog. I am now the one that you're following. So, you know, you learn from those for sure. And it just helps you grow. And those championship fours are just going to come a lot easier and a lot less stressful. I mean, even Slick Willie from, you know, I know his couple of his interviews where he said he's a lot less nervous going into like to the playoffs than he was the previous years. And, sometimes that just, you need to continuously, you know, do that to take that edge off. And it'll be interesting to see though, what Blaney does now that he has a championship. Will he be a championship flop, or will he continue this and take those races like we assume he will? But I'm interested to see what kind of drive and what kind of race car driver Blaney is going forward after this championship.
That's another interesting thing I was about to bring up. I kind of wanted to piggyback off what Matt said originally, where he's like, you know, after you get that first win, it makes it a lot easier to start rattling off wins. Same with championships. Well, like you said, not that championships are easy to win or anything, but Blaney didn't really have that. You know, he was kind of a win one race here and there. I looked it up. It kind of surprised me. Sorry. He only has 10 wins in the Cup Series. And three of those wins just happened this season, you know, but he's always been consistently there. Last year, he was one of the most consistent drivers. I feel like he was, you know, runner up, third, fourth, fifth place, top five guy all season long. Just couldn't get those wins, you know. So it is. I wonder if it's a weird psychological thing. We talked about earlier in the season how Ford was struggling as a whole in general, you know, so like there's a lot of different factors that go into it. And even going back to the news cycle from earlier this episode, I'm really excited to see what happens with Team Penske and the Fords overall with this new Mustang body. You know, will the body then provide the the platform for Blaney to just start fucking going on a tear? Will the championship create the confidence he needed to go out there and just start fucking driving real aggressive and pushing people out of the way and taking those wins?
Will Josh Berry win 20 races in his rookie season?
We will find out in 2024 for Matt the Statman Riley, for Eric Daytona. But no, for real though, I'm excited. I'm already getting excited for next season. I really am. How about your records, man? What was your records for the weekend?
Well, my records goes to the fact that the season's just over, boys. Like, it's just, I'm reckoning that it's, we're done with racing at this point. You know, we talk about the burnout, we talk about the excitement, and you know, it just, when it finally is here and you know that it's done for, we crowned our champion. It does take the wind right out of your sails. And, I am excited for next season to start, but man, it is a sad day when you know that the season is finally over.
No, I agree. Especially like, yeah, a couple of weeks ago felt real burnt out. And then like the last 3 weeks, I've been so excited where I'm like, man, I can't believe the season's ending. You know,
look at the race grades though. Like you look like I save all my race grades and like they weren't the best races we were getting. And then like the last couple of weeks, like Whitey, you just said, like they just picked it up and
yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I told you guys off air, you know, I'm way more bummed than I was last year. And it's just like, man, like looking back on it, like we had a great season. You know, there's a lot of things that NASCAR needs to get right. You know, this car needs to get figured out. The short track program needs to get figured out. The super speedway road course, that all needs to get figured out. But we're still seeing really exciting racing and great storylines. And I hope Ross Chastain comes back next year like he did in the beginning of this year, where he's just banging and smashing and creating storylines. And, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. I think the silly season isn't quite done yet. There's some rumors about that 10 car with an exciting name attached to that. And I know we don't report on rumors, but, you know, there's still some things that could shake out that's going to make a lot of fun storylines next year, too.
Yeah, definitely. And we will talk to you throughout the off season. Not as much, obviously, but we'll definitely do an episode probably before the holidays. And then, of course, before
it's the holiday season,
the holiday season, Santa Claus coming to town,
coming down the chimney.
Yeah, and then before the Clash in February, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you before that too.
Holiday album.
It's the holidays. It's a marshmallow world in the winter. That's one of my favorites. That one's grown on me in the last couple of years. Marshmallow world. It reminds me. What's up?
We went on a walk. Did I tell you guys this? We take the dog for a walk every night.
Yeah.
One house.
Already has Christmas lights?
One house already has lights up. The people right next door here have their tree up. You can see it through, like, not exterior lights, but you can see through the window. They have their tree up already.
No.
Have some goddamn respect for Thanksgiving. That's all I have to say.
Our good friend Bubba has his tree up already. He knows he does.
Yeah.
He loves Christmas.
To each their own, but...
And whatchamacallit, do they have their Christmas lights on, or are they just up? Because we've had some nice weekends where I'm like, well, maybe I should hang them now, but not turn them on. Not turn them on.
That's definite, Whitey. That's different.
Yeah. I'll probably still wait until it's nice and cold, and then I'm freezing my ass off out there putting up the Christmas lights.
That would be typical Whitey fashion. Yes. Don't do it now when it's the best time to do it. Wait until the last minute.
I'll be out there Black Friday. 30 degrees.
All right, Matt, how about your checkers and records for the weekend?
So my checkers is, and this might be controversial or maybe it's not, I don't know, but Ross Chastain gets my checkers for the way he raced Blaney. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But he raced him as if it were any old race. And hey, listen, he had a job to do, and that's go win a race of his own. So I don't know. I actually think he raced him clean. He threw some blocks, you know, but I didn't think anything was too egregious, in my opinion. And he made for a really good show. And, you know, I think, you know, I was totally good with him racing Blaney as aggressively as he did. That was old old, I say old school Ross Chastain as if he's 50, but that was the Ross Chastain that we saw a lot in the earlier part of the year that was creating all the drama and all the excitement that we were talking about. And I just, I'm so happy we got to see it again. And, you know, I'm also okay with the fact that Blaney got pissed off with Chastain for how aggressive Chastain was driving him. You know, I get both sides of it, but it worked out for both of them. You know, Chastain won the race. Blaney still won the championship. And the fans got to benefit from it because we got to see an exciting battle that was meaningful.
It really did make it real exciting, too. Like, it was really exciting.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's wrong with this car is that it is the air. You know, you can't – the clean air up front. Ross knew, hey, if I lose this clean air, I'm done. Even though he might be faster, he knew how important that clean air up front was. So, yeah, you know, you're gonna look in your mirror and you're going to keep that 12 behind you. And, you know, I agree, Matt. I think that was clean racing. I thought that was just hard battling. Like I said it. I don't know if it was last week before the championship or maybe 2 weeks prior, sometime throughout the playoffs. But I always said, it's weird how the championship four always are at the end, 1, 2, 3, 4 battle in at the end. Right. Like that, it's kind of like the other cars aren't really giving it their all. It kind of felt like they were just moving over for them too much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want them to race them, not super, super hard where it's like, yo, what the F, but like at the same time, you want to see what we saw, where it's aggressive, going for wins, nothing crazy, taking a little air away from somebody. And, you know, I just thought they both handled it well, Matt. I agree with that.
Blaney almost didn't handle it well. When he rammed into the back of him, I'm like, you destroy your radiator right now? Or
right after that, his crew chief got in his ear and said, hey, smart, buddy, be smart, be smart, be smart.
Yeah.
Because he was already ahead of Larson by, I think, 2 seconds or 3 seconds or something like that. So, like, all he had to do was just finish where he was.
Yeah.
You don't need to win. And his crew chief was trying to, like, and spotter trying to talk him down, like, hey, dude, like, I know you want to win this, but you don't have to right now. You're a champion if you just don't fucking wreck your car.
And even the broadcast was saying it, too, where they're like, if I'm a crew chief, I'm getting in his ear and tell him like, hey, buddy, like back down. Like, you don't have to win this thing to win it. I think like Blaney thought Larson was closing the gap, but he really wasn't. Like, the times
that's
weren't
just how
changing.
Locked in he was, though. Like, you're just so locked in and like you're in the moment. How do you not how do you not just keep racing aggressive like that? Like, that just goes to show he was ready and he was locked in, and that was one objective, win. And you know, like, if he didn't have, imagine like miscommunication with his radios and you don't have that calm, you know, ear or voice that you have to hear, be like, hey, to talk that, because he was driving with emotion there, you know, and without that spotter Cucci telling you to relax, to calm down, he very well could have taken himself out of that race.
Yeah. And then, Matt, you were going to say, I think Steve Letarte was saying that, right?
Steve, I think it was Steve, because Blaney's crew chief came on and he was like, you know, hey, buddy, you know, keep it calm. Keep it calm. You know,
we've got a championship
race. I think it was Letarte that was like, I wouldn't have been that calm. I would have been yelling, yo.
Yeah, like,
calm down out there.
Don't take yourself out of it. And then, like, a couple laps later, they put Rudy Fuel's radio on and he's like yelling at William Byron. He goes, the 12's melting down. Go after him. You know, like, make up the spots. I'm like, and he's like, you see, this is what I'm talking about. That's what I want to hear out of the crew chief, you know? So, I thought that was really, really great too. But, how about your records? What's your records for the weekend?
My records also goes to Chastain, but because of his celebration and his burnout. So yes, he won the race. You have every right to celebrate. But like, maybe if you celebrate on the other side of the track, or maybe just not do the burnout, maybe a Polish victory lap or something. But he was doing a burnout right on the front stretch the same time that Blaney was. And I don't know. I just thought maybe, you know, read the room a little bit. You know, this isn't really your moment.
Be a gracious winner and kind of drive off.
Right. You know, you got to just realize like you got to give the floor to the champion at this point. You know, yes, you won the race. Awesome, cool, you know, but to do burnouts in the same picture frame that Blaney's doing his championship burnouts, like, forever now Blaney's gonna have Ross Chastain doing burnouts in the same frame as him, you know, for the championship pick. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's, I just thought, you know, stepped over your bounds a little bit too much, you know, but honestly, the only reason I picked that is because there wasn't much to pick from. And I that rubbed me just a little bit the wrong way, but.
I agree, but I also disagree because I think why Ross Chastain did the burnout was because how they were racing at the end of that race. I think it was relayed to him that he flipped them off, Blaney. I think it was relayed to him that he was called an idiot for blocking in his mirror. Yep. I think all that got relayed. And I think, you know, he at the end of that race, like, see, I won. I'm going to burn out. And maybe, just maybe, we have a new rivalry going into next season. Maybe Ross Chastain, Ryan Blaney now. A little bit of saltiness going back and forth. Because Ross, you have to know Ryan Blaney doesn't like to do burnouts. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? That's even another, hey, F you. Like, I know you don't like to do burnouts. I'm going to burn out right in front of you when you won the championship race. Like, to me, like, that was a salty dog move that Chastain did there.
Dude, not only that, I didn't see it on the broadcast, but I heard the Morning Drive guys talking about it. Ross Chastain went up into the stands and was smashing watermelons with fans and eating watermelon in the stands with the fans and shit. Like, he went all out for his celebration too. And maybe it was like a big fuck you, Ryan Blaney. I don't care that you just won a championship because I just won the race.
He goes, I don't give a shit.
I'm here to win, and I won.
You know? I heard Batman tell that too because I didn't know that that's what he was doing because the broadcast didn't really show up. But yeah.
So,
that's why it took so long for them to interview on TV too, is because he was up in the stands.
Just digging around and having a good time. Let's see. That, you want to what? I didn't want to bring it up because Eric already yelled at me for bringing it up, but Ross Chastain at Phoenix, man, in championship race, second place last year, won the race this year. If he makes it through the round of four next year and it's still at Phoenix, I mean, I think he's got a shot to win a championship there. What do you guys think?
He has the champion. He has championship talent for sure.
Yeah,
I think it's possible. I think he still has some mending of the garage yet. I think he might think he's in the clear, but you know, it's a new season next year, and I think he starts out with a new season as well, and he starts out aggressive, and I think he's going to be until he gets checked. And I think that's his play. Like, go until you can't get away with it anymore. And I don't blame him.
Are you guys mentally prepared to see that one car with the bush on it?
No. No. Wow.
No.
That's going to mess me up for a few races.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. I forgot all about Bush going over to Chastain. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like, I don't know. Is he a Bush driver? I don't know. You know, like,
I said that. I didn't think he was. Like, I could see, I like, the blue collar farmer, either. But like, I don't see it. Like,
I think they messed up with not sticking with Barry.
I think so too. Or moving on to like a different veteran or something. Like, why isn't Kyle Bush the Bush guy?
Okay, right.
Why isn't Paul Menard driving the Menards car?
You mean to tell me that Jimmy Johnson ain't driving that Jimmy Johns car?
Did we just turn into Joe Dirt?
Clam, are you live, you asshole? Oh, man. Anyways, man, Joe Dirt's so fucking good. Yeah, no, I don't know.
I'm calling off work tomorrow. I'm watching Joe Dirt.
We're off the rails on a Tuesday here. We're off the rails on a Tuesday.
The season's over, man. We're having a good time. Yeah, I don't know. I can't really see Ross Chastain as a Bush driver. But at the same time, I can't think of who would replace him either in my head. We'll think about it. We'll think about it. But let's see. My checkers and wreckers. I have to give my wreckers to the truck race. Like, we talked about it earlier. That shit was embarrassing.
Disaster. Absolute disaster.
And then my checkers, because I wanted to give it to both who you guys gave it to, one Blaney and Ross Chastain. So I went with Steve Letarte and his explanation of the brake rotor explosion. Just bravo. The whole entire package. with that NBC put together, the graphic, him explaining it all, watching the brake rotor expand from heat and then explode on TV, it was pretty cool looking too. It makes me love NBC that much more. And I hate that we have to go back to Fox in February. Hopefully Fox has been paying attention to the fans and to what NBC has been doing. And they really start taking NASCAR seriously. Guys, I haven't watched NFL on Fox this year. Are they doing the cartoon graphics for the NFL still?
No,
or did they get rid of it?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so. I haven't heard anybody talk about it or make fun of it or anything like that. No, I think the cartoons are gone.
All right. So that's good then. Fingers crossed. Let's hope they get rid of the cartoons in NASCAR. Let's hope they get rid of some of those dumb skits in the beginning. Give us more post-race and less pre-race. And really build up the sport to make it exciting, because I feel like they don't. But yeah, that's my checkers and wreckers. I don't know. Do you guys have anything really else to talk about from the race itself? Because I have like two or three little things, but that's about it.
No, I threw on the last EJ shirt of the year here. Damn. Legion. He was out there. He ran top 10 for pretty much damn near that whole entire race. So. That made me kind of excited for if the championship goes back there and he goes to Phoenix. I know that he qualified seventh. He qualified well, and he ran well in that race. So for as much as the season is ending, that race and his race performance gave me some hope for next year, that if he makes the playoffs, at least that Phoenix in the championship, he has a shot.
Just to stick on like talking about our drivers for a second, I was just happy Chase Elliott was finally able to find victory lane for the first time this year.
Oh, to give Blaney a congratulations. Yeah, I saw that. That's a good one, Matt. That's funny. What you recall it? Harvick.
Pusher. I mean, if he didn't if he made that last championship round, he's right there at the end too. He was up there. P2 up there battling for the lead. Like, I think
fifth.
The people who look at it, Chastain, Blaney, Larson, Byron, Buescher, they all, in my eyes, would been completely worthy of winning it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
The only thing I could like say more about the race is the race was good, even though the guy I was rooting for went out early. I wanted to mention that. That is another reason why I gave it an A, because, man, I was, like, pissed when Christopher Bell's brake rotor exploded and he was done. It's like, man, that's who I was rooting for. That was my guy at the time, and, you know, I kind of was deflated. But the race kept me in it, and it held me strong even without the person that I was rooting for. So I thought that was another indicator of a good race.
Yeah, Buescher's drive was someone I want to bring up, because he didn't qualify very well either. And like you said, he was right up there in the mix. And then Kevin Harvick, for a good portion of at least the first stage and everything, I thought he could have spoiled it too and walked away with the win. Like, could you imagine just the storyline? Walk-off win for Harvick. But it still finished top 10, kept that 21 race top 10 streak alive, which I thought was just an absolute amazing feat. And you just gotta say, what a career for Kevin Harvick, man. That is one thing I am looking forward to for Fox is Harvick in the booth. I think he's gonna do a great job, and I'm sure he's gonna take it real serious too, because he's funny sometimes, but he's a pretty serious guy, especially with the sport of NASCAR. So talk about him. And then there was one other driver that kind of stood out to me. I can't remember right now, though. But yeah, I thought it was just a great race, man. I thought it was a really good race. I thought it was a great finale. And I'm ready for Daytona already. But yeah.
It'll be here soon, buddy.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone loves to talk about the winner of the race when Ross Chastain, the winner of the championship, Ryan Blaney. Unfortunately, we got to talk about the last place driver. It was one Christopher Bell. We already told you he broke his brake rotor, just exploded, just blew up, ended his chances. And
now, do you blame that
last
on JGR, or do you blame that on him overdriving the brake?
I mean,
JGR can't get the benefit of the doubt after the.
I just think JGR, like I said it a couple weeks in, but it might have been about Denny, but yeah. You know, like look at Kyle Busch last year and look at JGR's equipment just doesn't, they put out shit cars for when their drivers needed them the most. I feel like
I was going to put the blame on Bell. Cause Bell radioed to his crew chief. He's like, I need something for these brakes. He goes, there's nothing you could do. And then they told you, like, they kind of explained it on the broadcast. Steve Letarte says like, yeah, I mean, you run your brake fans, you put tape on the holes. There's no holes. There's no tape on Christopher Bell's brake ducts, you know? So like, there's not much the crew chief could do. It just, I think Bell was just kind of running his brakes a little too hard. They'll figure that out. SMT data. Like, we'll never know for sure, really. But, in my head, no one else had brake problems, you know? So you gotta chalk it up as driver error, kind of, right?
I don't know. Like, I would think that would be like a rare, like weird mechanical, like a part failure, like a, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a freak thing that happened. And it's that he got a lemon of a part, but I mean, short track guy. Like that. I don't know. Like, I think he knows how to get around that. Like, he's been in there enough where they wouldn't put a setup in his car that he's just going to burn it up either. You know,
that's true. And maybe it was a setup issue. I mean, he was stuck in traffic for a while too, like dirty air and everything.
Dirty
like,
air, just,
you're getting warm air put into that, to the nose of the car. Like, it's not cooling the brakes as much.
And like, I wonder, remember those Toyotas? Like, I wondered, Matt, I can't remember if there was like, you know how like sand gets on the racetrack at some of those desert tracks out there where they kind of tear apart the cars a little bit more than at other racetracks do. So I wonder if maybe that had something to do with it as well. Just maybe the track being in dirty air, rubber, sand, grit. It could have been a real gritty race. Not that I noticed, but now thinking about it.
Didn't that happen? I think Harvick earlier this year, or last year. Remember that his front bumper got
destroyed. It was full of stuff. Yeah, where was it? Was that
up from the sand? I think it was. Remember that?
Was that at Auto Club the year before?
Maybe
maybe it was this year at Auto Club. It had to be.
A bunch of cars like were all ripped up from it, like the driving. Noses, it was just like that bad.
It ripped up the wraps and everything, and even
I remember that.
I honestly forgot we even had an Auto Club race this year, but yeah, it was at Auto Club because we always talk about how dirty Auto Club is too. Whatchamacallit though. The only thing is, the reason why I said I think it would have to be like driver errors, because we didn't see any brake problems from anyone else. And typically when we do see brake problems, you see it from a lot of drivers. Like, remember last year at Nashville, we saw a lot of brake rotors explode. I think actually Ryan Blaney had a brake rotor explode at Nashville when we first went back. And then this year at Gateway, didn't we see a bunch of brake rotors explode at Gateway this year?
Yeah, certain races, it seemed like it was an issue. So if he was the only one, yeah, I guess you're right. You would see multiple teams or drivers having certain issues with their setups.
But even like you said, too, though, like Bell's such a good short track racer and stuff. You'd think like it wouldn't have been an issue for him.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I think he got a lemon. I put it on a lemon. I'm not putting it on the driver.
Who knows? Maybe JGR was messing with those brakes, trying to get an advantage too, and it fucking failed on them. You know, like, you never know. Championship car. Let's try something. See if we could gain an edge.
Too risky.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatchamacallit. But yeah, that's all I have for this week. Let's head on to next week free.
Marty, you've got to come back with me.
Where?
The next NASCAR Cup race.
And we're headed to Los Angeles for the Busch Clash at the Coliseum Sunday, February 4th, 2024. Before we get there,
leave your house and start walking right now,
you can make it.
You can get there by the start of the race.
I think you can. In fact, you want to what? I'm not going to bring it. So I have a theory. Like, there's homeless people in the north.
No theories. We'll see you all in fucking Homestead where are we going, Whitey?
We're going to the Clash of the Coliseum, February 4th, 2014 or 2024. Wow, we went back a decade. But first, we have to go over the points because this past week for Phoenix, Matt, you picked Kyle Larson. He got you 34 points. You won the weekend. I picked William Byron. He got me 33 points. And Eric, unfortunately, you picked Christopher Bell. He got you 1 point. Here's the thing. I didn't realize until this week and probably last year at this time, too, for NASCAR Fantasy, championship drivers don't collect stage points. I think that's why
you brought that up, and it's I don't understand why, but
I don't either.
Did that affect the outcome at all? I don't think it did, right?
No, but you want to know what? I think I gained points on guys because I ran out of Kyle Larson plays, so I didn't play Larson, so I had to play an extra non-championship four guy. And I think those were the bonus points out because I picked Brad Keselowski. He got me a bunch of stage points and shit. Anyways, regardless, I just wanted to go over the totals for the season for anyone that cares. Eric, you finished out the season with 1,024 points. Matt, you finished the season with 1,089 points. And then I finished with 1,121. So I came in first. Matt, you came in second. And Eric, you came in last. And next season, I think we'll figure out something fun to do with the picks next season. But that was our championship standings for the podcast.
I almost had a comeback at the end there with my dude, three winners really in a row. But
you made up so much ground.
Fell short with T-Bell. Like if T-Bell won, maybe no good championship points, maybe not.
And here's the thing too. I couldn't remember if you picked Bell or Blaney to win the championship. And I thought you were gonna go four in a row, which blew my mind. Where I'm like, no fucking way.
I wanted to pick Blaney. Like I thought Blaney was gonna win the championship, but in my heart of heart, I couldn't root against C Bell. It was just the DeWalt car 20. I was cheering it on for way too long.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. You have to go with.
And Matt's already on vacation. Look at.
Yep. Matt's in island mode, baby.
Just nailed it. I'm on off-season vacation, boys.
we're right there along with you. But like I said earlier, we will return for at least one or two episodes throughout the off-season. We'll do like a season recap and maybe a little award ceremony of our own. We teased that last year and that never happened, but this year it's gonna happen for sure. And then of course
damn tuxedo shirt.
What's we got to get.
I bought the tuxedo shirt for the award show that never happened, and so I just ended up wearing it around the house. Already got a damn hole in the underarm.
It's those Amazon dropship T-shirts. They don't last very long either, though. But boys, I had a great ride this year. I want to thank you once again.
Pat yourself on the back, boys. Yeah. Good year.
It's a great year.
I'm gonna miss you, boys.
I'm gonna miss you too. Of course, we'll see each other throughout the off season, but it has been a lot of fun doing it for a third season, getting to meet up with you guys once a week and horse shit, not only about NASCAR, but off the air about all sorts of stuff. And
that could be a whole nother type of podcast all on its own.
All you guys out there that listen every week that tune in, we really don't know why, honestly. Sometimes it kind of is shocking to us, but we appreciate you listening and getting a little glimpse into our world and our sports fandom for NASCAR. And we appreciate you guys commenting, liking, subscribing, and always spread the word.
And spread the butt cheeks. I know, I'm sorry.
Just me too.
Huh?
No, I don't know. I want to mirror everything that you guys just said. Thank you to, you know, we said at the beginning of this, we didn't care if there was one person listening or a million people listening. You know, we're doing this because we just love talking about this sport. We love this sport. We have fun doing it. You know, it's somewhat of a therapy session for the three of us, you know, getting together once a week. So the fact that we're not going to have this over the next couple months stinks, but you know, we're still in other group chats that we'll be talking and, you know, seeing each other and doing all that anyway. So our friendship isn't ending, but unfortunately this season is. And we just have a blast doing it. And hopefully you guys all have a blast listening to us as well. If we can make you laugh at least once a week, I think we're doing our job.
We think of ourselves as the Wayne's World of the NASCAR podcasting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it just, we're doing it. We're doing it for you guys. We're doing it for the fans.
And on that note, party on, Matt. Party on, Eric. For Matt the Statman Riley, for Eric Day Toneron, I'm Michael D. White saying have a good night.
The Bump and Run!
There it is!